Thank you. Good day, friends. We again come to you, another wonderful opportunity to again discuss with you the Word of God. We are studying the book of Galatians, this amazing book that has to do with the sufficiency of the work of Christ. You know, in thinking about this and meditating upon the wonderful truth given to us in this book of Galatians, I'm afraid that today too many of God's people, and I would not question the fact that they are God's people, but they've been moved away from the gospel of the grace of God. Just as these Galatian Christians had been removed from the grace of God, their eyes and minds had been blinded by these Judaizing teachers who had come from Jerusalem, who said that they had to do something else besides just believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when I speak about believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, remember, I'm not talking about a mental assent to historical facts. There are a great many people who believe that Jesus died for them, and that he was buried, and that he was raised again from the dead, and ascended to heaven to be a prince and a savior. They intellectually believe that. That is, they have mentally assented to the historical facts, but have had no personal relationship to the one of whom the facts speak. You permit me, will you please, to emphasize that again? There's hardly a day goes by in talking to people what I realize, somewhere along the line, we've missed the reality of life in Christ. We fail to realize that there could be no life and there cannot be any life apart from personal relationship to the Savior. And when the Scriptures speak about believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, he's talking about a personal relationship where a sinner actually puts his or her trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. It's a definite proposition. And they receive him and believe on him. They trust him that his death did put away their sin and that he's alive forevermore. And hence, we have the guarantee of life and hope and peace and joy. Now in the book of Galatians here, we've had the Apostle Paul speaking of the defense concerning his apostleship. His message has no authority unless he can prove his apostleship. And in chapter 1, verse 11, down through chapter 2, verse 10, the apostle defends his apostleship that he was called of God. He was called by a risen Christ, and the revelation of his message came personally from God. You remember he spent some time in Arabia, and more than likely it was while he was there that God revealed to him the wonderful revelation of the grace of God and the revelation of the church, the body of Christ, as you find that in the book of Ephesians. So I do not want to go over all the argument that he has used in this, except to remind you that in the second chapter, the first 10 verses, the apostles, Paul's apostleship was fully recognized by the other apostles, especially Peter and James, the brother of our Lord, and John, these three who seem to be the great leaders of the church in Jerusalem. And they gave to Paul the right hand of fellowship. And they endorsed not only his apostleship, but also the message which he preached. Indeed, they declared that they could add nothing to what Paul had to say. But just the opposite, they received some teaching from the Apostle Paul. Now, starting in at verse 11 of chapter 2, and running to the end of the chapter, verse 21, we have where Paul defends his message. And it's an amazing passage of Scripture. And I would like you to take your Bibles and read with me from the second chapter of Galatians, starting at verse 11. Because of the import of this, I'm going to read these verses. And I sincerely hope that you will read them too over and over again. So we'll get something of the truth into our very being. The issue now before us is a very serious one. In fact, the contention was so hot, so real, and yet so important that we've come to a time in the history of the early church where there was going to be a division between Jews and Gentiles, Jewish Christians, Gentile Christians. and in fact the possibility of having two kinds of churches, a Jewish church, a Gentile church. And the Apostle Paul and Peter are in the very center of this. And mark the tremendous authority that the Apostle Paul uses when he rebukes the Apostle Peter. There are those who give Peter a tremendous place. And he has a tremendous place in the early church, but not the place that God gave him. Let me read from chapter 2 of Galatians, verse 11. When Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, that is from Jerusalem, Peter did eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision, that is, fearing these Jewish leaders. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him. Even Barnabas was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If you, being a Jew, live after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why do you compel the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature, not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. I no longer live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Now you will notice in this that the Apostle Paul rebukes Peter. He manifests his authority as an apostle by rebuking Peter before them all. He didn't do this in secret. He didn't get Peter over to one side and say, Peter, I want to talk to you about something. Oh, no. Peter had failed the Lord publicly. He must be rebuked publicly. You know, did you ever stop to think of it? This amazing thing that Paul did. You see, Peter should have known better. Peter had no excuse. Peter had left his place of liberty in Christ and joined the religionists, these who had come from Jerusalem, who had come down from James. And Peter was afraid of them. And Peter knew better. Peter knew better. He should never have done this. For in Acts chapter 10, you remember, it was God who appeared unto Peter in a vision and said what God had cleansed not to call common or unclean. In the 11th chapter of Acts, when Peter stood before the leaders of the church at Jerusalem, he said, Who was I to withstand God? And that God made no difference between the Jews and the Gentiles, delivering them, justifying them, even as us. And the 15th chapter of Acts, in verses 7 to 9, here at the Council of Jerusalem. Do you remember how Peter stood up and defended the Gentiles? My, what a different Peter this is. Listen to what he said. Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth their hearts, bore them witness, giving them the Holy Spirit, even as he did unto us. And God put no difference between us Jews and these Gentiles, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why do you tempt God, to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, that is, these Gentile disciples, a yoke which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. And he's talking there about the yoke of the law of Moses. Now, therefore, why do you tempt God to put upon the neck of these disciples, these Gentiles, a yoke which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we Jews shall be saved, even as these Gentiles. In fact, he makes a statement that if the Jews are going to be saved at all, they've got to be saved the way the Gentiles are saved. That's by faith. Now, when he came to Antioch, he got himself into a real jam, into real trouble. He was having a wonderful time with the Gentiles, eating with them, sharing with them in the things of Christ. And then when these religionists came from Jerusalem and Peter saw them, Peter withdrew himself from the Gentiles. And not only so, but he brought all the other Jews with him. Even Barnabas was carried away with it. In other words, at Antioch, Peter went back on all that God had revealed to him. Peter knew the truth, but was afraid to walk in the truth because of religionists, because of men. You know, it's an amazing thing that this man, Peter, before the death of our Savior, he denied his Lord because of his fear of men. And now you find him at Antioch many years afterwards as one of the leaders of the Church of Christ at Jerusalem, doing exactly the same thing because of his fear of men. He went back on the gospel of the grace of God. And the Apostle Paul manifested his apostleship and his authority as an apostle by rebuking even Peter, the great Peter, before them all, before the whole church at Antioch, because he was to be blamed. You know, it's a sad thing when people know the truth and do not walk in the truth. As I said a moment ago, there was the possibility of there being a real rupture in the early church, where you'd have had a Jewish church and a Gentile church. And this is what Paul is claiming here. He's going to stand for the gospel of the grace of God, for the sufficiency of the work of Christ. And I would urge upon you to read this book of Galatians through as often as you can, so that as we discuss it together, the Lord will make very real to you the truth, the important truth which is before us. And the Lord bless you today. And by the way, why don't you read the whole book through today? Only 6 chapters. Read it today and the Lord bless you.